Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming today for this really special event in the university's life. We're delighted to have Chancellor Mrs. Sharp with us today, and with Vice Chancellor Steve Moore from A&M System. And this is just a great day of how the collaboration between the system and the university works, and part of who we are and what we will be in the future is based on this great collaboration. So it's my pleasure to introduce our president, Dr. Dan Jones, who will in turn introduce the chancellor, and after the chancellor has a few words, we'll open the audience up for any questions of the chancellor. Dr. Jones?
Well, thank you, Randy, and thank you all so much for being here this afternoon. This may be the perfect commerce day, warm and sunny in the afternoon with a promise of rain overnight. You know, who could ask for more than that? Well, it is a great privilege and a great honor to welcome our Chancellor John Sharp to our campus and to our community. Chancellor Sharp took office in September after being appointed by the Board of Regents and his lovely wife, Charlotte, as well. No, you weren't appointed at that time. I think you already had a job. But it's great to have you here, and I tell you, he hit the ground running in the A&M system. Chancellor Sharp is not new to A&M. He, in fact, is an Aggie. He's got the ring. He has an interesting story behind the ring, in fact. It's one of six unique rings in the system, right? But I'll let him tell that if he wishes. But he is a 1972 graduate of a Texas A&M, so he is an Aggie. But the system has changed a bit since 72, and now we're part of it. I'm very grateful for that as well. You also know the name of John Sharp in a lot of other contexts. Although he is new to the position of chancellor, he is by no means new to public service in the state of Texas. He, born and raised in Victoria, served in the Texas House of Representatives, the Texas Senate, and went on to a very successful career as the comptroller, Texas State Comptroller, where he will be remembered as the man who reinvented Texas government. And so it was a very effective and productive term. So I think all of us owe you a debt of gratitude for the tremendous service that you have given back to the state of Texas. And, of course, we're thrilled to have you at the helm of the Texas A&M University system. So please join me in welcoming Chancellor John Sharp.
Now, you will notice that the first speaker said, and Chancellor Sharp will deliver some brief remarks. Let me tell you, that's true, because I asked Dan what he wanted me to talk about, and he said, I want you to talk about 2 minutes, and then I want you to take questions. So I got the drill figured out. I'm going to give an Aggie speech, which is by definition short and to the point, as opposed to Longhorn speech, which has point here, and mostly bull in between. So we'll get right to it. For those of you who haven't had the pleasure, this is my wife, Charlotte. Glad to have her with me today. And it is an honor to be here and to be chancellor of this great system, and especially to be here with this wonderful president that has the full backing of everybody in the hierarchy of this system. I guarantee you, he is our rising star. This is a jewel of growth, we like to call it, because there is no institution in the entire A&M system that is growing faster than this university is growing. And we are so proud to have it as part of the system. What our job is to make sure that your job is easier and that his job is easier, and that we stay out of the way when it's important, and that we help facilitate, whether it's financing or other things, the growth of the university, whether it includes dorms, whether it includes classrooms, whether it's money for a nursing center, this beautiful band hall that got the pleasure of attending the dedication to a couple of 3 months ago was just a blowing away deal for me. I couldn't believe that. I used to play the trombone. I do know something about music, briefly, until they asked me to start playing football and give up the band. That was kind of an unusual deal. But when I first started this job, I have to tell you, I thought I knew a whole bunch about this system. I thought I knew everything there was about everything. I had been a legislator, a state senator, state representative. I'd helped with funding for all of this. And I came to the conclusion in about a week that I didn't know anything, that basically what was happening, particularly in these regional universities, and I say regional meaning outside of College Station, was absolutely incredible. The research projects, the faculty that are here, the ideas that bubble up that the other universities look at and go, oh, my God, we need to do this here, what you're doing with e-books. The founding of this university is really still, I think, one of the most important things that we as a system can do. We are proud of the fact that nearly a third of all the teachers educated in the state of Texas are educated within the Texas A&M system. And they ain't ordinary teachers. These are teachers that regularly meet, collaborate, find different ways out of the box to teach young men and women. And one of the things that I've always been disappointed in is universities like Harvard and Yale and folks like that get big and they think, well, we're too big and prestigious to do teaching. Well, thank God everybody doesn't have that attitude, or there won't be any more professors coming along because there's no teachers to teach them. And I'm real proud of that. The growth of the business school, the growth of the nursing school that's going to come along as soon as I get you that $5 million you're harping about, and all of those kinds of things. This is a great, great jewel of the A&M system, and I am so proud to be a part of it. And I want you to know, you know, sometime back there was a little controversy, as you might recall, in Austin and a few places about 5 solutions, 7 solutions. I can't even remember how many solutions there were. But let me tell you something. The single most important thing about a university is the faculty and the researchers. You take those two away, you run those two away, and you have no reason to have a university to begin with, because there's nothing for the students to come to and nothing for everybody else to work to. In every meeting I go into with faculty and research people, I know that I'm the least important person in the room. That is also shared by this president and a whole bunch of other people in this system, because we know what we're here for. And what we're here for is to make sure the students have the absolute best facilities, best faculty that exist. That's what my job is as chancellor. And I will guarantee you this, these regents are really excited about the kind of growth that they see here. We wish we had it in every institution within the A&M system, and we are so proud that the name Texas A&M is attached to this institution, and we want to make sure you are proud of that too, and we're going to do everything we can to achieve that goal. So thank you for having us here, and I'll be glad to answer any questions. And you don't have to be particular about your question. If I'm not particular about your questions if you're not particular about the answers. So, and also Steve Jones, I don't know. Steve, raise your hand. He's here somewhere. Steve is Vice Chancellor for Communications at the...
Steve Moore.
Did I say Jones?
Yes.
That's why I have a communications guy.
Yes.
I'd like to introduce you to Steve Jones in the back, who I just met. And he's new, too, so sorry about that, Steve.
It's all right.
Anyway, you want to do questions now? Any questions at all from anyone about anything? Yes, sir.
I got one.
This is my homeboy from Victoria, so we know this is a softball question. He is a hometown boy. Now, don't disappoint me here. Here's my take on what. Did everybody hear that question? I should have addressed it. And that is the last legislative session left everybody scratching their heads. Let me tell you what happened in the last session of the legislature. They knew they were going to have to cut X billion dollars. A very respected polling firm that's respected by Democrats and Republicans, which is kind of unusual, did a poll. And they asked the people of Texas, here's the list, we got to cut. What you want to put at the top of the list. And what came back was, top of the list, was higher education, which was a bit stunning to me. It was a bit stunning to the people that support higher education. And below it was schools, nursing homes, and things like that, which probably tells you more than anything else that there are more folks that had folks in nursing homes or public schools and things like that than they did in higher education. But here's what I think happened. I think over the last several years, those of us who support higher education have been talking to each other. And we knew how good we were, and we knew how good higher education was, and we didn't really feel the need to tell everybody else about it because we assumed that everybody else knew about it. They don't know about it. I went to San Antonio testing my little theory. I was supposed to talk about football, but I didn't want to because it was right in the middle of the SEC stuff. And so I went to talk about research projects, and I started talking about a train, electric train that's fixing to run down I-35 from Laredo to Dallas, elevated above the interstate that A&M system researchers invented, that's going to be start being built later on this year, that's going to take thousands of trucks off the highway. I started talking about a researcher that has found a way to grow cotton almost in complete drought conditions that we're going to see pretty soon. Another researcher that figured out how to a new breed of cattle that's going to transform the beef industry. Unfortunately, there's only two of them now. Thank God it's a male and a female. And because they can eat almost anything, and it's number one prime beef, no matter what you do. And in one of the campuses, there is a project called a barter project that makes the movie Contagion real. When you look at the movie Contagion, half of that movie is true. There is going to be a pandemic that's going to kill 60, 80 million people sometime, maybe in our lifetime, maybe later, but it's going to happen. When the right duck and the right pig get together the right way, it's going to kill a bunch of people. And frankly, when you talk to scientists, it's a miracle it didn't. The second half of Contagion is completely false. When that happens, there is nothing anybody can do about it. The answer to how to do that, how to vaccinate 300 million people, lies within the A&M system. And we're fixing to prove that pretty soon. And we do it in a kind of a, in ways that nobody has ever seen, but you'll see that pretty soon. The research projects that are going on, the 120,000 young men and women that are being educated right now within the A&M system make huge impacts on people and people's lives. If we still had the same agriculture that we had in 1940 and 1930, half the world would have starved to death before now. But it is solely because of researchers, primarily within this system, that have figured out ways to make this many more bushels of corn, this many more bushels of wheat. You go up to Kansas, 60% of the wheat planted in Kansas comes from the Texas A&M system. It doesn't come from Kansas. 100% of the highways comes from the A&M system because everything on highway research is, it comes from Texas A&M University, whether you go to Guitar or someplace like that. And there's going to be some folks not too long from now be able to produce millions of gallons of jet fuel from algae that is going to be coming from this system. I could name these things for the next 2 or 3 hours, and that's just the things I know about. And I don't know about very much of it because I haven't been here long enough to see it. Point is, we hadn't told anybody about that stuff. Hadn't seen all that stuff. If they did, they would have never answered that poll that way. And I think what we have to be about is making sure that legislators are supportive, and you've got darn good ones here in Bob Dole and Dan Flynn. But they need support. They need the public to hear what happens at this place. The miraculous transformation of lives. You have a good percentage of people in this university that are first-time college graduates in their families. I don't know what that percentage is. 60%. There is nothing on planet Earth other than a religious experience that will transform a family more than a kid for the first time walking across the stage and getting a sheepskin. Because the question becomes from that point on, for the history of that family, not are you going to go to college, but where are you going to go to college? And it is the most transformational thing that happens. And we just have to tell that story. We didn't tell the story. Now, one of the things I'm going to do to make sure that we do, number one, going to do lots of speeches and lots of Rotary clubs and lots of talking to people about what these universities mean, not just to Commerce, but to the whole state of Texas when you put 1,000 teachers out there and you put 1,000 MBAs out there and all those kinds of things. But we are moving to Austin when the legislative session starts in January. And we're going to stay there the whole 140 days. And we're going to be talking, helping him get the TRBs and the things necessary to build the dorms and classrooms and things like that. There will not be one dinner had by the Chancellor of the University of Texas or any place else with a legislator that I don't follow it with a dinner with the truth. So we're going to have a much heightened presence there. We're going to have a much heightened presence in Washington, D.C. We have we just hired a new person to direct our Washington, D.C. operations to facilitate grants that you would bring to federal departments and things like that who we think is the best there is in the nation. He did this for the University of California system. When they were covered up with money. He then did it for the University of Chicago when they got covered up with money. But he has one fatal flaw. He married an Aggie. Now we got him. Or he can't go home, you know, that kind of deal. And we're making sure that we take absolutely nothing for granted in getting this message of this university and the other 10 universities and 7 state agencies out there as well. As you may know, in this system, there are also 7 state agencies. The Texas Forest Service is owned by Texas A&M University, AgriLife Research, Texas Transportation Institute, and all of those kinds of things. And so the second part of that is that although in the last legislative session, they got out of that session by deferring a bunch of things, you know, to the next session. The good news is that sales tax revenues are in double-digit expansion for the last now about 7 months. There is no other state that has that right now. And so while it's not going to be roses, it's sure going to be better than it was before. And I think it's going to allow people like Bob Duell and Dan Flynn and others who want to help to have the flexibility at least not to go through what we went through last session or at least to make somebody else suffer through that process as well. So I'm a little bit optimistic. I think it's going to be better than it was before, and I think that I think it's kind of woken a bunch of us up about, hey, you know, Bubba needs to know what this is about, and we're going to make sure that the public knows exactly what we do, what we're doing. So we spend a lot of time on the road trying to do that and making sure legislators know it as well.
Chancellor Sharp, I just wanted to ask you about, you talked about the growth here at the university. There's also been a large growth at the faculty as well, not just with the students, and I think there was 15 or close to 50 active searches in January. You hear all these cuts that they're making in school districts and higher education with their faculty. Could you just speak to the faculty growth here?
Speak to the what?
Speak to the faculty growth here at the A&M Commerce and its benefit for the system.
You know, I wear 2 hearing aids, and I don't know what I'm missing here. I did not.
We're at about 50 faculty positions this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you grow, when the marketplace says, I like you, and kids come, when you have growth, and tuition revenue comes in, it helps blunt a whole bunch of bad things that happen. It doesn't completely offset all of them, but that certainly helps. Now, the worst situation you want to be in is have the cuts come and you be a university that's losing students. Then you're in big trouble. And I think because of the leadership and the great faculty and folks that you have here, students see it, parents see it, and you have growth, you're able to do things that wouldn't happen if you weren't appealing to a whole bunch of young men and women to come to the university. And so it helps offset that a lot. So I think the fact that they're coming is a testament to what's happening here. You know? Yes, sir.
In the past week, President Obama has been speaking about education nationally and different things that are happening to it. And one of the things that he said was a new plan in which there would be a scoring card for universities. I don't know if you seem that you're aware of it, but it would basically mean that universities would be graded, federal aid would be shipped into those who are more efficient and get students out. In your opinion, what does that mean for the schools like A&M Commerce or any?
If he's serious about it, it's very good news, because for the last two or three cycles, the lowest tuition rises that exist anywhere in the state of Texas are within the A&M system. I hope he doesn't just start it now. I hope they look back at 2 years and 4 years and reward those institutions that have had to, you know, take retirement of administrators and folks and tighten their belts and stuff like that. If that happens, I promise you the number one beneficiary in the state of Texas is going to be the schools within the A&M system. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you've had schools with double-digit increases in tuition, while A&M system schools through the regions have been, way under what they're about. And so when I saw him say that, I said, man, I hope you don't start today. Start 4 years ago, and I guarantee you that reward money is going to be coming to 11 universities within Texas. It's going to be the major beneficiaries of that because of what we've been able to do in the last 4 to 6 years.
Student Senate has rejected this as an option for commerce. Could you speak on your ideas on what bringing guns into college campuses?
Is there a problem with guns? Excuse me, just a second. Oh, just kidding. Don't have a clue about it. I mean, my personal opinion, I'm kind of a Second Amendment kind of guy. I have a concealed handgun permit. I try to limit the number of guns I have. I only have about 30. But I don't bring them on campuses. And frankly, it's the first time I thought about it and hadn't done it. And when I do talk about it, I can guarantee you I'll have consulted the regents before I do. But thanks for that question. You're not from Victoria, right? I don't know. I don't know. There are some campuses that we have that, you know, probably will start issuing guns if you don't have one. Any other questions? Anything at all? Well, I'll tell you what, this is a heck of a place right here. I mean, the history, one of the things we say to really historical schools like this, where East Texas State University was something that I know that the people that wear that ring, you know, the 60, 70,000 graduates, a whole bunch of which had an East Texas ring before an A&M ring. When I see those folks, I say, look, one of my goals is to make sure you never regret that it came into the Texas A&M University system and that you're proud of that and that A&M brand adds a lot of value, which I think it does, to what this is about. But as we look at that, last thing we want to forget is what East Texas State was and meant to Texas before it became within the Texas A&M system. So we work very hard at making sure those folks know that we appreciate, number one, what they were about, and those that still contribute to this university. You could not have a university of the first class without the support of the alumni who fell in love with East Texas State and those that will fall in love with Texas A&M Commerce to give money to scholarships and to give money to different programs. And your loyalty base is as good as anybody's out there, and we want to make sure those folks are always happy with what this is about. And so we're going to make sure that working with this great president and his wife that we we do exactly that, that we are responsive and we are quick and we are efficient, and if we do something that gets in his way, we want him to let us know about it so we can get the heck out of the way. So thank you all for having us, and thank you for what you do.
Thank you, Chancellor Sharp. We appreciate your comments. I think it's real clear today that the A&M system and the partnership with A&M College, A&M Commerce is shaping the dialogue on higher education. We really appreciate you all coming. There's a reception across the street and the Student Center, and you're all welcome to attend. And we appreciate you coming. Thank you.